News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Copper, hey copper, oh copper, 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 copper. Copper, we're over 30,000 downloads, just so you know, on
yes,
the podcast.
Yes, I thought we would be. Awesome.
Yes, yes, indeedy. I'm looking at it right now, 30,031 downloads. When you consider there's only 1,019 episodes out there, that's a significant number of people that are, yeah, Birdman's going to be getting me some stats on that. Last time, kind of funny, do you remember, did you see it last time, Copper, when he got the stats together? Were you there when we were looking over that?
I don't think so. I'd love to see
it, I think
it
was the night
though.
We had that dinner in Huntsville, and I think you had just left when he brought the paperwork out. So anyway, crazy thing is, you know where our second biggest audience is? Podcasts? California.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I don't. Okay. Wow. Cool.
They're desperate.
Yes, they might be. They're looking for a lifeline. But you know, good folks in California. And I used to live there myself. And I mean, you know, Navy SEALs are trained out there and good, solid conservatives live out there. Ronald Reagan came from there. So we welcome our listeners from California. Thank you very much. All that to say, with lots of doings on our rightsideradio.org website. So number one is that podcast. You can catch that every single day. Copper takes the show, segments it out in smaller pieces, puts it into a Dropbox where Birdman will then grab it, upload it to every version of podcasting available, and it goes out. And you can listen to, like, you know, if you hear an interview, you want to hear it again, or if you want to send an interview that we did or a monologue or a Copper's Corner or whatever to somebody, you can email it to them or post it on social media. In fact, this morning, I saw that Casey Wardinsky and Chad Mathis had both recently done interviews with us, and they both posted their interviews on their own social media. So very cool there. That's on the website, rightsideradio.org. Couple other things on there, make sure you know, is you can find the things that Copper and I write. We both write a weekly column that comes out in periodical statewide. That's on there. And then other stuff, we have things like the Right Side Store, where you can order Right Side Ruffian, you know, stuff like T-shirts and stickers and coffee mugs and anyway, Right Side swag, I would like to say, swag. And then the last one, and this is a big deal. All right. All kidding aside, big doings. So coming up a week from Thursday, which would be March the 10th, in Huntsville at Burritt on the Mountain, beautiful place up there on Montesano, the Alabama Policy Institute, where I am also affiliated, will be having a dinner. It's just basically a dinner. It's a dinner event. If I would call it, it's a chance to celebrate conservatism, let the world know who we are. And I'm the keynote speaker that night. And I would love to have some of my Right Side Ruffians show up. People that I've not had a chance to shake your hand in person and meet you, would love for you to be there. So here's the deal. I've worked out a special, and it's on the rightsideradio.org website. If you will go to rightsideradio.org, look at the little button that says the 2022 API Huntsville event or something like that. Click on that. You can buy your tickets. I've worked it out where basically your tickets are half price if you use the promo code RIGHTSIDE when you check out. Oh, yeah. And I just found out this morning that, like, a ton of people are buying those through our website. And seats are limited, so we'd love to have you there. Okay. Enough of that. Well, I don't know. Is there more? What else can I say? Socks. I forgot the socks, Copper. You haven't got any socks yet, have you?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Golly, we gotta fix this. I mean, like, it may have to be like a dress code that we have to wear right side socks for the show. I don't know.
At least not at that event. You know, me and my heels with my right side socks sticking out, not a fashion statement.
Well, you know, Pippi Longstocking the whole thing. Yeah, we don't want to go down that way. But okay, but so do you know who Pippi Longstocking even is?
Did I just say something? Yes, I do.
Okay, all right.
I can pull that off.
Wait, does she have red hair?
Yep.
Oh, you could. You could pull that off if you wanted to. Okay, we won't do that to you. But nonetheless, lots of things on there in the Right Side Store to include the fact that I get mocked for it by my family, but I love to point out the fact that we sell Right Side socks, which are just funny to me. I just love that. You can get them in different colors, too. You get them in green, yellow, tan, white. Just there you go with the Right Side logo, Right Side socks. All right, so here's the deal. Going to come back here in a minute. We're going to get serious. We're going to talk for a little bit about Ukraine. All right, there's some serious stuff happening. You may or may not have seen the fact that we have a what is being touted as a 40-mile-long 40-mile-long convoy of military vehicles, Russian military vehicles, approaching the capital city, Kyiv. I think I'm going to go ahead and be Colonel Williams for a little while and try to give that some military perspective to the best I can. I've also got some sound bites from people like General Jack Keane and Trey Yinks, who's been reporting from inside Ukraine quite well for Fox News. And if we can get through that whole thing in a half hour, I'm going to play some of that for you. I mean, it's amazing to me to watch right now. We're even hearing that Putin has begun using weapons that, you know, the international community had already decided would not be used because they are so violent. Not that any weapon of war is not in some way violent, but these things called vacuum bombs, that literally when they go off, the concussion is so intense, the fireball so incredible, that it sucks all the oxygen out of a huge radius, thereby the concussion, whether you're in the blast area or not, you die from the immediate loss of oxygen. It's amazing that that's happening right now in the world as we see it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. We're going to move into a discussion about Ukraine, and I see, first of all, though, that I had a caller that hung on during the break, which I always appreciate, so let me just grab that real quick. Line 2, Peter from Huntsville. Hey, man, how you doing? This is Phil Williams. How are you
doing? Hey, how you doing, Phil?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
Ukraine.
Yeah.
Why does Ukraine continue to be in the spotlight?
Why is it continuing to be in the spotlight?
Yes.
I would say because there's a war of aggression going on with a peaceful country that's an ally of ours by Russia, which has been a long-time near-peer adversary.
Is that the only thing that's going on there?
You're trying to lead me down a path. Why don't you go ahead and tell me what's on your mind?
Okay. March in 2012, Obama was caught on a hot mic telling then Russian President, I believe it was Dmitry Medvedev, to tell the incoming president, which would be Putin, that, quote, after my election, I would have more flexibility. After Obama was reelected, Putin took office in Ukraine and also invaded the territory of Crimea. We also have, Joe Biden and Hunter Biden in Ukraine. Hunter gets a high-paying, no-visibility job with no experience. Joe gets an investor kicked off from the investigating Hunter. That's interesting. President Trump contacts Ukraine for information on the Bidens, and that draws everybody's attention. And then the last thing, Ukraine member of parliament, I believe it was Kara Rudick, stated on Fox News, quote, it's a critical time because we know that we not only fight for Ukraine, we fight for the new world order for this democratic country. What is the new world order that member of parliament is saying?
Peter, I'm going to need you to get to your point, man. Where are we going here?
I'm asking you the questions. We know what's going on. That's the epicenter of the money laundering for the deep state, the Clintons, the Obamas, George Soros, Hunter Biden, and Joe Biden.
Well, and I don't deny that some of that might be true, but your original question as to why it's in the news cycle is a little different than that. I mean, I don't disagree. I think there's pictures of Hunter Biden in a drawer somewhere in the capital of Kyiv, but. To your greater point, are you saying that the war is being fought right now to protect Hillary Clinton, or what are you saying? I don't get where we're going here.
What I'm saying is we got Putin that's going in and taking care of all that mess, the bio labs as well, and you know he's wanting to put nuclear weapons on his border. We don't know what the deep state's going to do, so I can kind of understand Putin's deal on that, although it's a little bit extreme. But there's a lot more to it.
Okay, but you sound like you were so nuanced that I'm not even sure I could tie the threads together, though, Peter. So, I mean, I get it. You're saying Hang on a second, Peter. Let me finish my statement. What I'm saying is this. Yeah, I get it. Hunter Biden went over there and made some illegitimate monies. Joe Biden influenced the basically the attorney general of the entire country and got him fired. Obama made huge missteps on Crimea and allowed things to happen. But I don't have time for a half hour of conspiracy theories. I mean, if you want to say this is being fought to protect the deep state, just say that and let's be done with it. But I get it. You believe that everything is about the deep state. Sometimes I think it's just about bad actors wanting other people's stuff. So I think that's a big chunk of what we're doing here. Putin's economy is in the tank, and he believes that right next door are resources that he can grab, and he thought he'd be able to get away with it quick, and it's not working out. And I think that's probably the bulk of the story. Peter, I got to go. I got another caller hanging on the line, but I appreciate your call. You know, make sure that you read the mainstream news once in a while too, not just the other stuff. All right. Let me grab line two before I run completely out of this entire segment. Aaron from Huntsville. Hey Aaron, Phil Williams on the Right Side. How you doing?
Hey Phil, doing pretty good. I appreciate, Peter's call. Actually, it gave me hope that there's still critical thinkers and researchers out there. And I just wanted to pass a message to him. And I want him to research these search terms. You can research young global leaders, and then do a plus sign, and then research World Economic Forum, and do a plus sign, then search Putin, plus sign, Zelensky, plus sign, Trump, plus sign.
Aaron, how many plus signs you got, bud? I mean, you can probably email Peter, you know, separately if you want to. But what is your point? What are you engaging here?
Well, basically, what I'm saying is that there is something called the Fourth Industrial Revolution, the Great Reset. I've talked about this many times with you guys. You guys continue to talk about it.
Hey, Aaron, you're kind of muffling your phone. I can't hear you good. Copper, put him on hold and tell him to quit muffling his phone. I'm not sure what's happening with Aaron's call. It's like he's talking into his hand. All right, listen, I got to move on. Listen, I know you conspiracy theorists believe that everything is about trying to uncover the pedophile ring in Ukraine, and that's the whole reason we went to war. It's not. It's not. All right? It's just not. I mean, that's – I get it. There. By the way, I don't deny that there could be subterfuge beneath the base subterfuge. Right now, we can see the big problem is Putin wants somebody else's stuff. And with 190,000 troops, he has invaded a sovereign territory and is killing people. Now, I know that a bunch of y'all want to believe that what we really have is a conspiracy theorist kind of view of this being something that is really just there to go after the other things. And the, you know what? There probably is money laundering going on there. And I'm not going to be a bit surprised to find out there's not weapon smuggling. And we've got to really be careful about the idea of the peddling of enriched uranium and other things that are going to come out of a war zone like this. However, there is more to the story than just the deep state archives that y'all just root yourselves in to the point that you can't see anything else. There actually sometimes is international diplomacy that goes awry. And there actually is sometimes a national tyrant who believes that he has a right to take over another sovereign country's land. And if you think that this is all about, you know, the things that no one else can see, but you see them because you read the right websites, I would just ask you to make sure that you are a critical thinker and that you ask yourself once in a while, could it be something that is actually broader as opposed to something that is that narrow? Just saying. Now, let me do some news. I just used up an almost entire half a segment on that entire piece there. All right. I'm probably going to get fussed at later on for that diatribe, but nonetheless. Let me jump on this. Because right now what we're seeing is, and I want to make sure you guys hear this, we've got 40-mile-long convoy of military hardware moving, Russian military hardware, moving to Kyiv. And the last time I saw the map, my understanding is the majority of this has swung around down through Belarus, which is in the northern parts, and is moving towards Kyiv, which, by the way, is the capital city a city larger than Chicago, by the way, with a population of over 3 million people. It's a huge city, all right? The second largest city in Europe, if I'm not mistaken. Meanwhile, this 40-mile-long train of vehicles is moving along highways to Kyiv from the northwest of the city. Multiple reasons. Let me give you some perspective on that. Multiple reasons. Number one is by coming in from the northwest, you hopefully will block off the supply routes to Kyiv that would keep them from being resupplied during a potential siege. Why? Because the west is the safer area. Poland's to the west. Friendly nations are to the west. So if there's a cross-border supply line, a landline, if you will, it lies to the west. Everything to the north and east is currently Russian, and south, for that matter, is currently held by Russia. They still have some access through the Black Sea, because I do not think that remaining ports have been seized by the Russians yet, but they're soon to be, and the Russian Navy does control the waterways, so there's that. So the supply lines are to the west. Now, the next thing you got to look at, though, is there's been a lot of talk about what does that convoy consist of? Well, yes, it does consist of quite a bit of combat troops, all right? And in the military, in the U.S. military, we tend to divide our army into three categories. We have the combat arms, and we have the combat support, and the combat service support. So you basically, the combat arms are the warfighters. You're going to have your armor, your infantry, your artillery. Those are going to be the shooters, basically, are in the combat arms. And yes, there is a large chunk of this convoy that allegedly is made up of combat arms. But I would bet you that if we had to count vehicles, I would say a third to more of that super long train of vehicles represents what I call the combat support and combat service support. It's the ones that make sure the beans and the bullets and the medical care and the logistical operations and the repairs and the towing vehicles and all the things that have to go along with, and the resupply, the refuel, all of those things that have to go along with the combat troops to keep them in combat make up a large chunk of that. It's not like you have 40 miles of tanks and shooters. You have, but you do have a lot. Don't let me minimize it. You have a lot, but a big chunk of that is to make sure that Putin supply lines do not get lost. All right, because we've had reports that the Soviets. You can tell where I'm from. The Russians are literally running out of gas in places because they're exceeding their logistical trains. And so the reality is a big chunk of what you're seeing there is what it takes to keep the operation moving. Now. A lot of questions. Why aren't the Ukrainians doing something? Why haven't they? Don't the Ukrainian Air Force still have some measure of control of the airs? I mean, we don't have air superiority vested right now in Russia, do we? And the answer to that is, last I checked, no. The Russian Air Force is still airborne. And I believe they do have some very capable armed drones. And I also believe that they have the abilities to also have a ground attack helicopters. So why is that not turning into the highway of death like what we saw when the Iraqis tried to escape Desert Storm? Well, I don't know the answer to that yet. But when we get back from this break, which I've got to take right now, I believe you're going to hear some thoughts on where that could be going. All right? Copper's moving us to a break. Copper, I see a caller just called in, by the way. Ask him if he'd like to hold on during the break. I'd love to take his call. In the meantime, got to do this because our team members got to advertise their wares and their services. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and not prone to conspiracy theories. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Moving right now through some issues related to Ukraine. I have not even really touched the headlines because I've been just trying to explain some aspects of what's going on with the 40-mile convoy of military vehicles that's moving towards Kyiv. But let me do this. I want to be conscious of the fact that we got a caller that hung on through the break. So let me go to line four, Bob from Athens. Hey, Bob, Phil Williams on Right Side. How you doing today?
I think I'm doing okay. I have a comment, and then I have a request.
All right.
My comment is that about 72 hours ago, Vladimir Putin stationed two Blackjack supersonic nuclear bombers in Caracas, Venezuela, along with a flight of escort fighters. The Tupolev 160, which is what the bomber is, has a range of over 7,600 miles, and it's only 2,000 miles from Caracas to Washington, D.C. And so my request is, could somebody please call Mo Brooks and Tommy Tuppavel and ask them to be at least 27.8 miles away from Washington, D.C. during the State of the Union address, where our entire federal government will be at ground zero?
Bob, that's the makings of a TV series. Oh, wait, they already had that TV series. But yeah, your point is well taken. I have not seen those reports. And that's interesting. But you know what? I don't doubt it. Venezuela has not been much of a friend. And they are certainly a socialist country, with a parent, organization being in Russia. Bob, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you. Let me go to line five. Hey, it's Jeff from Indiana. Line five, Jeff. Hey man, it's Phil Williams. How you doing today?
Doing good, Phil.
Good. What's on your mind, bud?
I mean, Ukraine is not going to defeat the Soviet army, but I believe Ukraine will win on the optics army. I mean, everybody's got a cell phone, everybody's got a camera, and it's still, as long as the pictures are getting out, if these people, with a city that's over the size of Chicago, and if you got the streets, hand-to-hand fighting in the streets and everything, his soldiers are not going to just, go into buildings and start taking people out. They're going to start blowing the buildings up. And I believe when we get the optics of women and children laying dead in the rubble, the world's going to have it's not going to look good for Vladimir.
Yeah, and some of that's already coming out. I mean, we've got some pretty painful video and photographs that's coming out. And you're right. And in today's age, it's not like combat reporting in the old days where they had to carry a typewriter with them and try to get it on the wire in time to get it back to the news a week later. I mean, they're literally able to report in real time. And so, yeah, Jeff, I agree. I'm still hopeful, though, that the Ukrainians are going to make this so painful that the Russian offensive begins to crumble under its own weight. Because right now, even Jack Keane, General Keane, says he believes they've committed a vast overreach. He doesn't know if they can sustain this. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, it's all according on what they do with the oil. If they'll shut the Russian oil off and everything, Putin's a dead man.
Because, I agree with
you
that.
The country will virtually crumble under its own feet because the people will go to rebellion, I believe, because they won't have any. China will be their only partner they can trade with.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And by the way, I've got an audio clip that if I can get to it later, I'll try and play it. It's actually Democrat Joe Manchin and Republican Lindsey Graham both saying that President Biden needs to rekindle our oil and gas capabilities because that's exactly what's needed. That's a bipartisan call right there to restore energy independence.
But the woke left says different, though.
No, they do. And I suspect we're going to hear tonight in the State of the Union address that he's doubling down on green energy policies, but we'll see. Do what? Go ahead.
I can't wait to hear the rebuttals, the Democrat rebuttals.
Oh, yeah. I mean, go figure. He's got his own party putting up a rebuttal. This is craziness. All right, Jeff, man, I appreciate you. Be safe on the road. All right, listen, we got a great audience. And yeah, by the way, those of y'all that call in that I don't agree with when you call, it doesn't mean don't call in again, all right? So let me just say this. If you can call in and defend your point, I'll go with it. Just make sure that you understand that if I disagree, I'm going to disagree with you on the air. But that being said, listen, there's a whole lot to this 40-mile convoy. And we may wind up having to just continue this conversation slightly after the break because I've not even touched on what's happening in Ukraine for the most part right now. But I will say this. Militarily, what you're seeing on that 40-mile convoy doesn't make a whole lot of good sense. It doesn't. So from the perspective of a former battalion commander, let me just tell you that what he's done right now is channelized himself. All right? Putin's forces have channelized themselves and put themselves into a kill box they did not have to be in. There are limited avenues approach for them to work with. This does not appear to be a well-phased operation. It's logistics heavy and is constrained. And according to the maps that I saw this morning, moving into Kyiv, he literally has to hit two choke points that he has no alternative but to send his forces through those choke points. I'm just telling you, if I were the Ukrainian generals right now, I'd be looking for that key terrain. And I would literally want to channelize the enemy into that and make their life miserable and cut that 40-mile convoy into about six parts and then destroy everything in between. We'll see what happens. More on this when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like that dude just said, yes, indeed, this show is solid, conservative, and just plain right. Also streaming live, by the way, at rightsideradio.org or podcast the show. You can catch aspects of the show every single night. We post them up from the day of, and you can be driving to work the next morning and re-listen to a segment if you missed one or you want to just hear that interview again. Listen, we've got this show covered down, and I just appreciate the fact this audience has made this show what it is. So thank you for being a part of the Right Side team just by listening in. Coppert, listen, go ahead. I want to play a segment first, and then I want you to tell that story we were talking about offline. But let's do this. Clip two, if you would. Go ahead and let me know you're ready with that one. Just highlight it. You are ready? Okay, good. So clip two is General Jack Keane. General Keane is talking about the status of what's happening with these Russian troops, not the least of which is this 40-mile convoy. And how do Ukrainians feel about all that's going on? You can imagine. Play clip two.
Flying, and their air defense is still operating. This is after 4 days and five nights of an invasion. There's no doubt, and our intelligence services has evidence, they've talked about it, that the Russian military leaders here who are executing this operation are very frustrated. Their logistics lines are breaking down. As we've said before at the outset, this operation is very ambitious and incredibly complicated, attacking on four independent axes, all requiring logistics support and also air support. Very complicated, and they're not able to execute anywhere near their own expectations. But let's see it for what it is. I think Putin has overreached here in invading Ukraine. I think there's significant long-term consequences here for him, Dana, dealing with the Ukrainian people. You think he would get it by now? I mean, the reason why he took Crimea and went into eastern Ukraine in 2014 is because the people of Ukraine ran out Yanukovych, who was Putin's Russian stooge, ran him out of the country. That's how strong these people want democracy. Mm-hmm. 8 years later, despite the intimidation of being on Russians on Ukrainian soil, the people never turned towards Ukraine, was what the people in Ukraine never turns towards Russia.
Basically what he started to say there was they didn't just welcome the Russians in. Not at all. Putin has been saying all along, they want to be a part of us. They know they are symbolically and genealogically, they are a part of Russia. Nope, they don't feel that way, apparently. They are whacking you on the tail right now. And you're seeing it in everyday resistance. I mean, the videos are out there right now of, you know, moms and dads and grandpas taking up arms and making Molotov cocktails. I gave you the quote the other day from the mayor of a small town. It wasn't Kyiv. It was a town southwest of Kyiv, I believe, who literally said in his closing comments to his people, he said, I will be staying here and fighting with you. And then he went on to say, stay calm or keep calm and make Molotov cocktails. I mean, what a thing to say. But we're seeing it, too, just in the average citizen, like the most unexpected. Well, Copper, your story. I mean, yeah. Go ahead and tell that story we were talking about.
Oh, yeah. I mean, these people are so bad. So this old lady, she was caught on camera. She walked up to a Russian soldier with a handful of sunflower seeds, which is their national flower. And she insisted that he put them in his pocket so that when he died, his corpse would fertilize the flowers and something good would come of his presence there.
I saw that video and she was just a grandma. I mean, it was just, you know, it wasn't like she was, you know, on the battlefield yelling from one, you know, foxhole to the other foxhole. This was literally, she walked up to the armed Russian soldier on the street corner and just handing the seeds. I saw that. It was, golly. Yeah.
I mean, I kind of want to send them a care package, but a very, you know, special care package. Does Amazon Prime ship nitrates to Ukraine?
I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure that is strictly governed, just so you know.
Yeah, figures.
Oh, my gosh. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot happening over there, folks. And just, by the way, keep your eyes on it. The earlier caller that said, so why is it in the news all the time? It's in the news because it's news. It's in the news right now because this one is actually real. This is a big story. This is the biggest story, in my opinion, of the decade. And right now, you've got U.S. troops, and I don't want them. I don't want U.S. I don't want my family and friends who were still in service. I don't want them having boots on the ground in Ukraine. I don't. Let me say it unequivocally. I don't. But they're still over there right now, and it's a flashpoint. Don't think for a second that it's all just sitting inside the borders of Ukraine and it can't spill over. Don't think for a second that we can't have some incidental unilateral action that causes something to happen. Copper, you got a question? What was that?
Yeah, so I thought I heard last night that Ukraine announced that you don't need a visa to come in. That basically, they told the world, free for all in Russia. If you've got a gun and you feel like coming in and taking on Russians, everybody come.
They may have. I mean, they literally have done an all call for mercenaries. They said they would take freedom fighters. they're even letting people out of the prisons right now. The report is that if you've got combat experience and you're in prison, and they can arrange it, they'll let you out to fight in the streets. So, you know, wow. Anyway, lots more where that came from. I didn't even get into the headlines. I mean, I'm looking at just a constant stream of headlines right now, but I do believe this. I don't think for a second that the Ukrainians are not fully aware that they've got a 40-mile convoy that is channelized, staring into Kyiv right now. And apparently Kyiv is being shelled as we speak. I'm seeing news up on the board on the big screen here in the studio. But I'll say this: that convoy right now is the target of a lifetime. It is. That's the target of a lifetime for running gun runs down a straight line. And I don't know what the Ukrainian, army or resistance plans are for it, but there are whole sections where, I mean, I'm looking at overhead. I'm looking at the imagery right now, satellite imagery showing there are whole sections where there are long fields of fire that you could have great standoff capability and take out a huge section of the convoy and stop their forward advance, that the grounds are not as frozen as the Russians had hoped, and therefore the tracked vehicles are having trouble off the roads, meaning they're definitely channelized because they're on the roads. And then on top of that, you've also got the fact that there are certain places where they have no choice but to go through choke points. And you start dividing that convoy, you start dissecting them, cut off their log trains, break down or cause vehicles to break down and block roads. They have to be towed off or pushed off. You've got them holed up in a spot that basically you control the flow at that point, and it becomes a killing zone. And we'll see what happens. I don't think for a second the Ukrainian army doesn't know that. I just hope they get the opportunity. That's what I hope. All right, Copper, I'll tell you what let's do. I've got to change topics because in a minute we're going to be on with Jeff Poor, and I want to cover a few things first. So let's do this. Let's go ahead and take the break about a minute and a half early. Come back from that, folks. I'm going to start changing gears on the Triple Dipper. That was Ukraine bringing some scunion. I'm going to switch now to some discussion about what's happening here on the home front. All right, so number two on the Triple Dipper, here on the home front, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.